we do as it, in worship. We've looked at communion, at the Lord's Supper, and we've looked at also our song service, our singing. Today, I want us to think about our giving. What is it that God expects out of us when it comes to our giving in our worship service? Is giving something that is just a financial issue? Is it just something that is a pocketbook issue? Or does it have a greater meaning? Does it go a little bit deeper than just a financial thing? There are two bodies of water in Israel that are fed by the same water source. They are the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee, if you look at that, and you've got maps, of course, in your Bible, but if you Google the Sea of Galilee and look at that, it's a very beautiful place, and it has lush greenery all around it. And it is a blessing to everything that is around it. All the living creatures, the animals that are around it can eat. Inside the Sea of Galilee, there are all kinds of fish that can be caught, that can be sold for a profit, that can be, of course, eaten. And so it is a benefit to everything around it. But then that dumps into the Jordan River, and the Jordan River flows out of the Sea of Galilee and flows to the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea could not be more opposite than that. If you look at the banks of the Dead Sea and you Google that and look at that, you see there's no green vegetation whatsoever. There's no life at all. And so it doesn't give at all to any of its surroundings. In fact, there's no fish at all in the Dead Sea. None can live in it. And so there's no food source or anything of that nature. And really, when you think about the differences in these two, they could not be greater. But there's really only one big difference, and that is the outgo. It's not the intake, because that is the same, but it is the outgo. The Sea of Galilee, it benefits everything around it, and it becomes a conduit, if you will, and a blessing to everything, every being and every person that lives around it, where the Dead Sea, it only takes in, but then it keeps everything that it has, and there's no outlet, and so it doesn't benefit anyone. What about our giving this morning? When we think about giving, it's not a subject that we like to think about all that much. Stewardship is pretty much like everything else when it comes to Christianity. It's a issue of faith, really. When we think about our lives as Christians and the question of, am I willing to give my life to the Lord? And if we've become a Christian, we've done just that. And we have given our lives and our will and our wants and our desires to the Lord. But what about our money? Are we willing to give our money to the Lord? You see, when we start talking about our pocketbooks, then we start getting a little bit more personal. And there's not too many elders and not too many preachers that like talking about the subject. And really the question is, what do? With the things that we are blessed with that God gives us? When it talks about, when we think about our blessings, our material blessings, and that we receive, and all that we receive is from God, what do we do with that? Do we in turn bless others with that? Do we in turn become, if you will, a conduit to all of those around us and bless those? Or do we, in a sense, kind of become like the Dead Sea and we just keep everything that we have and we like to be given, right? We like to receive, but giving is a little bit harder. If you look at the back of your bulletin, you will see what you see is always there, and some of us might just choose to not look at it, but it's our budget. And nobody wants to talk about the budget. I don't mind talking about our budget, be honest with you, but our budget is not something that you're going to find in the Bible. Now, it's a good thing to have. A budget is something that is necessary. Without a budget, I don't know how we could manage our funds in the best way. We have all kinds of ministries that we support in-house here at Tanner, and we have ministries and different things that we support, of course, outside of our family here at Tanner. And without a budget, it would be very difficult, if not even impossible in some ways, to keep up with all of that. So that is necessary, but giving is not a budget issue. Giving is not a budget issue, and you do not find a budget. If you look throughout the Bible, you will not find a budget in the Bible. And godly men, I don't care if it's an eldership or if it's a preacher, does not set a budget and then tell other godly men and women how much to give. It just doesn't work that way. Now, we can encourage, but we don't do that. God is the one that teaches us how to give. God teaches us in His Word that we are to be liberal. And in fact, the only liberal way that we can be is in our giving. That we are to be liberal in our giving. That we are to be sacrificial in our giving. And so let's look at giving this morning. And there's so many different areas that we could look at this morning. And when you look through God's Word, you see that we are to be givers in all different kinds of areas. As individuals, we need to look for opportunities to give and to help others, to be good stewards of our own finances, and also to be hospitable. And if you look at what that word means in the original language, you see that that's not what we have made it today, and that's pretty much just taking friends into our house. In the original language, hospitality means to take in strangers. And so there's so many different areas we could look at when we talk about giving and stewardship. But if we ever have this idea that, well, you know, I help in a lot of different areas. I might help a children's home. I might help a Salvation Army, and I believe a lot of people don't do that. I might help this family when they, and any opportunity, when someone has a need, then I try to fulfill that need and help out when I can, and that's good. But if we ever have the idea that since we do that, well, I don't really have to give on Sunday to the church. Or maybe I'm going to split that and not give near as much because I give in all of these different areas and different ways. And if we have that idea, then we have the wrong thinking and it's not in line with the Scriptures. God wants us to give as individuals, but He also wants us to give as a church family. And we see that, examples of that, in God's Word. In other words, not all of my giving and not all of my help needs to be done individually from just me. Some of it is to be done collectively. Some of it is to be done from the leaders of the congregation that you are a part of. And so let's look at a couple examples here. The first one there is in Acts chapter 4. And when you see there, you look at that passage, you look at a very young church and one that is growing by leaps and bounds in Acts chapter 4. And in looking in that context, as you getting close to verse 34 there, it talks about having all things in common, the church and the disciples having all things in common there. And what it's referring to there is that, in other words, you didn't have a Christian that was dirt poor and had nothing and was doing without, and have another Christian that was over here and he had plenty and had more than enough and just had everything and anything that he wanted. You didn't have that when the church first started. They were giving to one another. They made sure that everyone was provided for. And so they had all things in common when it came to that. But notice verse 34, if you will, if you're there. In Acts 4, verse 34. It says, "Nor was there any among them," them being the church, "who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each one, anyone who had need." So here you have, you know, before you had elders set up in the church, you had apostles as being leaders in the Lord's church. And here you had individuals that were trying to help out, but they weren't just doing it individually. We see that they were bringing it to the church and to the apostles for the apostles to go and distribute that. So we see that it was done collectively even from the very beginning of the church. Now look in Acts chapter 11 at that example. Here you have Paul and Barnabas, and they are dealing with teaching and encouraging the church at Antioch. And they become aware of a famine that's going on in Judea, in that region, in Jerusalem. And so they make that known, and they're trying to raise money and collect money to help those brethren out. And one thing that's very interesting, kind of a side note here, is that those brethren in Antioch would have been Gentiles. And those who need help in the Judea area were Jews. And if you know anything about Bible history, you know that the Jews and Gentiles did not get along. But yet, Paul is raising money there and asking for contributions there in the Gentile brethren for the Jewish brethren. And Acts 11, verse 29, we'll pick up there. It says, "Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. And this they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." And so what we see here is individuals that want to help. And Paul and Barnabas make known to them that there's a need over here in Judea, but they didn't just up and go, okay, I think I'll go over there, and I don't really feel comfortable handing my money over to anybody, so I think I'll just go myself and give to who I think has a need. Now, some might have done that, but what we see is that they gave to Barnabas and Paul, and then they gave it to the elders to be distributed how they saw fit. Another thing that you see here in this text is it says, according to their own ability, they did this. And so, in other words, they all didn't give the same gift, but they gave the same sacrifice. Let me say that again. They didn't all give the same gift, but they gave the same sacrifice. In other words, today, this morning, there might be some that can give a $10 bill, a $20 bill, and there might be others that can give a $100 bill, a couple of $100s, and that is a different gift. They're not the same gift. They're not the same amount, obviously, but they are can be the same sacrifice. And let me tell you, that is between God and the individual Christian. No one else can look at what I make or try to fish around and say, I think he makes this much, and let's look at his check and try to determine whether or not I'm giving the way that I need to give. That is between God and me. But each one is to do that in their own way as they have that ability. And so what we see here is that God has a system from the very beginning in order to distribute funds and kind of use a conduit, if you will, through elders and through apostles in order to channel the funds. And so not all of it's to be done just through me as an individual, but also through the church. Now I want to shift gears here and think about something a little bit that hits home a little bit more, something that we do every single Lord's Day, and that is to give of our means. And we'll look at this passage here in just a moment in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But I want to start out by trying to get us to think, what do we have in mind when we think about the contribution on Sunday? Honestly, it's a subject a lot of us don't even want to think about because it's hard to give. What do we have in mind when we're thinking about giving? Do we think that by giving, that when the plate is passed around, that is just another opportunity to give to a good cause? Kind of like supporting the North Alabama Children's Home or Agape or something like that. And those are worthy causes. But if we have the idea in our mind that, well, this is just another opportunity to give and to do good, and I've already done that, and I'm very liberal in all these areas of giving, but I don't really have anything because of that to give, then we've got the wrong idea. Because there's a faith issue here. And as we see in a minute, there is a commandment there also to give in a way together as a church body, individually, to the good of the church. When we think of giving, and the plate is passed around, you remember several weeks ago when we were talking about worship, I said probably 95% of our worship, and I don't know how much, but most of our worship is mental. It's not hard to do these things mechanically. It's not hard to actually do them, but it's hard to keep our mind focused on what we're doing. Now, I'm not being judgmental in any kind of way. If anything, I'm stepping on my own toes in this lesson. What do we think? What's going through our mind when the collection plate is passed? Are we thinking of anything at all? Sometimes I wonder. Are we thinking about how we've been blessed? Are we thinking about maybe our jobs and how God has given us these things? Are we thinking, as we'll look at here in a little bit, of what a blessing it is that I can give back and be a blessing to others? Does any of that pass through our mind as the plate is passing around? Do we ever think about, are we too busy just trying to scrounge around in our purse or our wallet and try to find whatever we can find? Or have we, as we'll look at in a minute, have we purposed and planned our giving? Have we thought about it? Or is it just something that we do on the spur of the moment? Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we'll look at this passage, very well known, and anytime we talk about giving, we know this passage. This is the passage that teaches us that this is a commandment to do so every first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, the first two verses there that was read so capably, but we'll read it again and look at some principles concerning giving. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must also do. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. There's a lot of different things and principles and that we can look at here. But first of all, why do we give? Why do we give? We could come up with a lot of different reasons. Love, of course, being one of them. But the number one reason that we should give is because it's commanded of us. Brethren, that's the number one thing. We could go on about all the different other reasons, but actually when it comes right down to it, we're commanded to do so. Paul is not making a suggestion here. Paul is not saying, well, this is some humanitarian effort at if you have the opportunity and if you can dig deep enough in your pocket and come up with something, it would be great. No, notice Paul's wording here, that he gives an order. He gives a commandment here, being inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so, number one reason why I need to give is because the Lord expects it out of me and commands me to do so. And if I love Him and want to be obedient, I'm going to do so. But then, well, when am I to give? You can give anytime you want to, right? Absolutely. If you want to give every single day of the week, I'm sure the elders and the church here and God would be very happy and pleased with you. But we are also commanded to give on the first day of the week. And I don't know all the reasons why. I don't have to know the reasons why. But I know that that's what the Bible teaches. Now, if we were living under the old covenant, it would be on the Sabbath day. But we're not. We're living under the new covenant. And if you think about the first day of the week and how significant that is to me as a Christian, it's the day that my Lord was resurrected from the dead. It's the day that the church was established, the day that the church got together to meet and to worship. It's the day that we partake of communion, and we can read that in the Scriptures. And it's also the day that they would give of their means. And so I need to give on the first day of the week. Well, who is to give? What does he say there? Let each of you. Surely that's not right. Surely that's not right. Let each of you, every single one of us, because if you think about it, there's a wide variety of people here. And there might be some, and I'm sure in this day, in any audience that you talk to, and any group assembled, you're going to have a wide variety of different ones in different financial conditions. There's going to be some that have a job that doesn't make a lot. There's going to be others that have a job that makes a real good money. You're going to have some that are barely making their bills and others that make their bills and they have so much more than that. And so surely what Paul means to say here is you give as you can, if you can, right? No, that's not what he says. He talks about that each of us are to give, every single one of us. Now we'll talk here in a minute about how we give according to our ability. And a good passage to look at is Luke 21, talking about that poor widow who Jesus sees the wealthy putting their gifts there in the treasury or and making their offering. And then here's this poor widow that gives two little mites, and a mite was a copper coin that wasn't worth hardly anything in that day. And Jesus says she's given more because she's given out of her poverty instead of out of her abundance. Every single one of us are to give. But let me direct your attention to Acts 20 and verse 35 to try to help us better understand that each of us are to give. And I believe that this passage really helps us understand that each and every one of us are to give and why maybe. Not just that it's a commandment, very important, but maybe a little bit deeper than that. Acts 20, 35, you have Paul talking to the Ephesian elders and he's encouraging them, but you have something very unusual here in the text. Paul is quoting from Jesus Christ. And you won't find these words anywhere in the gospel accounts, but they are the words of Jesus. And Paul says here in verse 35, he says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I don't know about you, but I like to receive. I enjoy receiving gifts, and all of us do, but Jesus Christ said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, if we believe that with all of our heart, that Jesus Christ said that and that he means that, then we have no problem understanding why he said, let each one of you give as he has purposed. Because is Jesus Christ partial? Absolutely not. Jesus does not want us to miss out on the greater blessing. You know it? According to this passage, the greater blessing is to be able to give to others. And we'll look at the churches in Macedonia here in just a little bit. The greater blessing is not to receive, but to give. If we understand that and we believe that, then we can understand why he says, each of you, if you have little or if you have a lot, each according to your ability, you need to give. How are we to give? Well, he says, as we have prospered. As we have prospered. In other words, if God has prospered, if I've prospered a lot and God has given me a lot, then I need to give a lot. If he has prospered me a little and I haven't made all that much, I need to give a little. Now, it might be a lot to me, it's sacrificial to me, but as an amount is little. You know, and that's why our contribution is going to vary so much. You know, that's why it's going to vary from week to week. If thinking about how I have prospered, if at one point in my life, maybe when I'm young and get started out, if I make $100 in a week, and just say I give $10 of that, okay? I'm not talking about tithing, but say I give $10 of that. What about later on in my life? Maybe I get a better job and I start making $500 a week and I give $10 of that. What about later on I get maybe a better job and I start making $1,000 and bringing $1,000 home and I still give $10? Now let me ask you, is that giving as I have prospered? No, it's not. No, it's not. And brethren, that's why we'll see our contribution fluctuate and vary so much. We might see it 3,000 one week and 4,000 the next week. And I think that's a good thing in the sense that people prosper different. Now, some of us, we make this amount, period, and so it's going to stay about the same. But we're prospered different. And some of us are prospered different in different weeks and different months. And so sometimes we're able to give more than what we can in other times. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is something to keep in mind as we're talking about giving as we have been prospered. We need to keep this in mind when we're considering that. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7. Paul says there, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Here we see that it is something that is to be purposed. It's something that is to be planned. It's not something that I know we've all probably done this, just not being in a hurry and not thinking, but it's not something that we should make a habit of in digging through our purse and looking through our billfold and, okay, there's a five, there's a ten, I think I'll give that. And I'm not being critical. I know I've done that too and forgotten, you know. And it's to be planned and purposed is what he's talking about. It's something that is a part of our worship. It's a great spiritual act, actually. And you talk about a faith builder. You talk about a stretch of your faith. Try doubling your contribution today and see. Now, I'm not saying we need to make our bills, we need to provide for our families, and you might not be, but if you want your faith to grow and be stretched, try doubling or tripling your contribution and see how your faith grows. It's a faith builder. It's more than just a pocketbook issue. He says it's something that is to be thought out and purposed and planned. Well, how much am I to give? Well, if I was living under the old covenant, it'd be a tenth, but I'm not. And I don't know how many times I've heard people in the church or in Christianity say that we are to tithe and we are to give a tenth. No, we're not. No, we're not. If you want to, or I'll tell you what, if a tenth of your income is generous, is sacrificial, is something that has been purposed, you give a tenth of your income. But the New Testament says that it's something that we have planned and purposed. It's something that should be done liberally. It's something that should be done out of the goodness of our heart, not grudgingly. It's something that we are to do sacrificially. So that might be way more than a tenth, right? It might be a tenth, and it might even be less than a tenth for some of us. And it's nobody needs to play the judge concerning that. Well, what's the result? Paul says this, so there be no gathering when I come. What's he talking about there? Now, think about this. Would it have been difficult and maybe even embarrassing for Paul to come and Paul say, you know what, I didn't get enough. They need more. I believe that's what it's talking about. We give sacrificially, we give liberally, we give from our heart, and it will be enough. And there'll be no more collecting when he comes, he says. Let's look at some points in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll wind this lesson up. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, some principles about giving here, two of them. First of all, giving, here we see that it is an act of fellowship. Now, in America, we have kind of, got the idea that fellowship is what we do back here. And it is. You know, eating, feasting, you know, having a good time, and that is fellowship. But that's not all of what fellowship is. Fellowship means together. It's something that we share in. You know, going through this series of worship, we've been talking about how we do things in fellowship, like singing. We do them together. Well, this is also something that is to be done together, not just individually. Look at the first four verses there, 2 Corinthians 8. And what's going on here is that they are giving to the churches of Judea, and Paul is encouraging them to do this, encouraging Corinth to do this. He says, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches of Macedonia. We think about the grace of God, we think about salvation. That's not just the grace of God. The grace of God is generous gifts that we have from God. And that's what he's talking about here, not just salvation. And he tells these churches of Macedonia would have been Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. Those are those churches that he would be referring to. Verse 2, that in great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of the participation in the fellowship of the saints. That's kind of wordy, and there's a lot there. Verse 2 there, it says that they are abundant in joy, but yet they are deep in poverty. Now, I didn't think those two went hand in hand. How in the world can a person be deep in poverty and be without so many things, but yet be joyous and abundant in joy? They don't normally go hand in hand. How does that happen? What will do it? Generosity. Generosity will do it. As they are deep in poverty, they reach deep into their pockets and they are liberal in their giving. You see, they understood what Jesus said, that is more blessed to give than to receive. We get things mixed up in America and we think, well, I like to receive things. I like people giving me things. And so I will. The more stuff I get and the more I receive, the more happy I'll be. No, that's not how it works. And by human nature, we think so. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And these churches in Macedonia understood that. And so as they were deep in their poverty, they were joyous because they were liberal in their giving. And he praises them for that. In verse 3 here, it says that they, according to their ability and beyond their ability. We give according to our ability. How many of us have asked ourselves the question, well, I wonder what I would do if I had $1 million. You ever did that? I think we've all done that, especially as a kid. If I had $1 million, you know, I'd do this with it and I'd support. And first thing I'd do is quit my job, right? If I had $1 million, I'd do this, that. That's not what God wants. What God wants to know is what we're going to do with what we have. Not what we're going to do with some pie in the sky amount that we're probably never going to have. If you have $1 million, then he wants to know what you're going to do with that. What am I going to do with what I have? Well, that's different. I don't have a whole lot. You know, I have a lot of bills. I have a lot of debt. I don't make a lot of money. And so really, I can't do much. In fact, sometimes I can't do anything at all with what I have. No, we always are to do with what we have, no matter how little, no matter how much. In verse 4 here, he says that they came begging him. I think it's very interesting that Paul didn't have to come and ask. And I don't know if he would have or not. I mean, if you think about it, these brethren are probably worse off than the ones that they're helping. But he didn't have to come asking. They came begging. Please, let us be a part of this fellowship, of this effort to be able to give. Brethren, you know, when we have a love, a genuine love for God and for His church and for His work, we will give what we need to give. And we will do what we need to do. And that's what these churches in Macedonia did. We see here also in this text that our giving is to be generous. Skipping down to verse 7, it says, but just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this grace, gracious work also. He's saying you're growing in all these different areas, and no doubt if we grow in knowledge and in love and all these different areas, we're growing spiritually, but he's saying also grow in this area as well. You know, throughout the years of, in your Christian life, you might have grown in knowledge and grown in love in these different areas, but if you haven't grown in your giving, there's something missing. And he's saying you've grown in these areas, you also grow in this area as well. It says, verse 8, I am not speaking this as a commandment, but as testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through the poverty might become rich. You're talking about bold. And if this wasn't given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we'd say, that's a low blow. That's a cheap shot. Here, you know, he comes to get this contribution to help out with this, and you're going to bring up that Jesus died on the cross? I mean, that in order to get money out of them? That's what it sounds like. Holy Spirit doesn't take cheap shots and low blows. He's not trying to make them feel guilty. I believe he's trying to get us to think about the importance of giving. And think about that kind of exercise. Think about that when you give. That's a good exercise for every one of us. Think about what Jesus gave, what Jesus was willing to do for you. Then, think about how much you're giving. And I guarantee you, contribution is going to be greater, and it's going to stretch your faith more. We've been talking about giving of our means this morning, which is a part of our Christian responsibilities. And if we don't watch it, especially as Americans, I believe, we can fall into the line of thinking that, you know, I like my job because it's security. I like my 401k, I like my RA, I like my investments, I like my savings account and my checking. I like those things because they give me security. And if you don't think you think like that, do you not feel better when those things get bigger? Do you not feel a little bit more secure? And when those things get smaller and the stock market's not doing good and you see that your income has gone down, do you not get a little bit concerned? God is our provider. God is our security. Nothing wrong with those other things as long as we have our priorities straight and that we realize this. As Christians, I know a lot of people that are not Christians, and they're generous. I know a lot of people that are very generous, but they're not a part of the church. And that's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. In other words, we need to first give ourselves to the Lord. If you look at the brethren here in Macedonia, and you look at verse 5 of the text here in chapter 8, it says that they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. You see, they were very liberal in their giving, but first they gave themselves to the Lord. Have you given yourself to the Lord? Have you given your life to Him? He will change it. He will transform it. He will make it so much better than you've ever dreamed it to be. We need to be more liberal in our giving. But first of all, you need to give yourself to the Lord if you have not already become a child of God. We want to encourage you to make that decision that will bless the rest of your life. If you have a need to have the prayers of the church for strength as a disciple of Jesus already, or you want to become a child of God and be baptized into the Lord, we encourage you to come and do so while we stand and sing.